Our next storyteller is Eva Abram from the Seattle area, and she's telling a story from Cairo titled Maruf and the Cobbler and His Wife Fatima.
Thank you, Allison. Nothing ever happens in my life worth telling a story about. A lot of people feel that way. Ma'aruf, the cobbler in the story, felt that way. His day, every day, was routine. Wake up, get dressed, go to work. Wake up, get dressed, go to work. One morning he woke up and got dressed. And his wife, Fatima, came to him and she said, Ma'aruf, I want you to bring me vermicelli cake home tonight. And that's when his story took a turn. Now, vermicelli cake is this delicious pudding cake topped with fresh honey. Ooh, delicious. Expensive. But he said, yes, dear. Now, that evening, when he went to buy the cake, well, he didn't have enough money. So he bought a substitute, brought it home. She took a bite. What is wrong with you? You bring me this fake vermicelli cake? Oh, you will pay for this. You will be punished. I will go to the Qadi. I will go to the judge. And she marched off to the judge and told him a story. Judge, he treats me badly. He doesn't feed me well. Well, Ma'aruf knew his wife. He rushed on her heels, heard the story, and then he told the judge what really happened. Now that judge listened to both their stories and, well, he was married. So he reached down into his pocket, gave Fatima money, and said, you go and buy yourself some vermicelli cake. And then you two go home and make peace with each other. Well, she went and got her cake, enjoyed every morsel, every single crumb. And then she remembered what else the judge had said. Make peace? Ha! I'll give him a piece of my mind. But Ma'aruf knew his wife well. He didn't wait for her to get home. He rushed to the gates of victory. Now, the gate of victory was not really just a gate. It was a wall, a thick wall that protected Cairo from wars. And he figured, well, if it could protect Cairo from wars, it ought to be able to protect me from Fatima. So he went into this mosque and poured his heart out to the walls. And the walls spoke back. And his story took another turn. Some figure stepped out of the wall. Are my eyes deceiving me? Are my ears deceiving me? Your ears and eyes are fine. Your story touched me. I'm here to help. Make a wish. Really? Well, if I could make a wish, I wish to get far away from my wife. She's lost her mind. And in an instant, he found himself on the streets of a totally new city. Looking around and the strangers looking at him. A man dressed in fine clothes, a merchant, noticed him, noticed his threadbare clothing, and decided he needs some help. So he went up to the man, he said, "Wait here," told his servant, "Bring me some of my clothing." The man came back, and Ma'aruf put those clothes on. Now, they weren't new, but they looked good. The man said, "Well, let me look at you. Yes, yes, you look like a rich merchant. Well, wait a minute. Ma'aruf, is that you?" Ma'aruf looked at the man. "Ali, is that you?" Turns out they had been childhood friends. They talked and talked, and the main thing Ma'aruf wanted to know was, "How did you get so rich?" They sat and talked. He said, "Look, I pretended to be rich until I got rich." "And you can do the same thing. Just do what I say." He gave Ma'aruf bags and bags of gold. He said, "First thing you need to do is go down to the marketplace and get yourself a black slave." "That's right, a black slave, because everybody looks richer with a black slave." "And now I'm going to invite all the merchants to my place for refreshments. Now, as we walk, when you see a beggar, you just toss a few coins here and there." And that is what Ma'aruf did. As they walked and passed beggars, he didn't throw out a coin or two. He threw out a whole bag of gold, throwing out bags of gold like Mardi Gras beads. And Ali is thinking, "What is wrong with him?" The plan was simple. You throw out a few coins, they will think you're rich. But he just kept tossing out bags of gold. And then he had the nerve to say, "Ha, if I had known you had so many beggars, I would have brought more money." He was really getting into that merchant role. Now the merchants thought, "Well, if he can give away this much money, he must have a lot more where that came from." And he didn't disabuse them of that. He said, "Well, when my train comes in, all of you will be rich." And so when Ma'aruf ran out of gold, the merchants practically fell over themselves to loan him money. And they kept, "I need some water, somebody." Pardon me. They kept loaning him money. But after a while, they started to wonder, when did he say that train is coming in? And he kept getting more and more money and giving it away. Well, after a while, the merchants kind of caught on. "He doesn't have a train coming in." And they went to Ali and confirmed it. And they went directly to the king. "This man called Ma'aruf something. Well, he has taken all this money from us, saying that he has a train coming in. He has no train coming in. This man is a cheat." Thank you. Lifesaver. Well, the king listened to this along with the king's advisor, and the king kind of thought, "Surely, a man who could give away that much money, oh, he must have a lot more where that came from." But his advisor was of another mind. If he had money, it would be here by now. The king said, "Well, I shall test him. Bring him to me." Ma'aruf was brought in. The king gave him this beautiful jewel. "If he knows its wealth, well, then I will know his value." Ma'aruf examined it top to bottom. And then he squeezed it with all of his strength and broke it into the chalk that it was. "Ha!" the king said, "This man truly knows wealth. That's the kind of man I want as a son-in-law. And so the king spoke with his daughter about marrying Ma'ruf, and she agreed. So the advisor was sent to inform Ma'ruf that the king would like to you to marry his daughter. Ma'ruf said, what? Tell the king I will marry her when my train comes in. Now, the advisor was happy to deliver this message because he secretly wanted to marry the woman himself. And so he went back to the king. He says he cannot marry her until his train comes in. Ah, no need to wait, said the king. Dunya has agreed. Now, let me just hit the pause button. Does anybody remember that this man is already married? Apparently, they don't care. Unpause. And so the king's daughter and this cobbler were married, a marriage of convenience. But after a few weeks, well, they both fell in love. And then Ma'ruf confessed, I don't have a cent to my name. And she said, oh dear, that's all right. I love you. But if my father finds out, he will chop off your head. And so Dunya herself came up with this plan, dressed him in servant's clothing, gave him money. You go, get rich, and send for me. And she snuck him out of the palace that very day. And then she waited a day and told her father, well, my husband's train was attacked by burglars and bandits, and he has gone to check on his riches. Meanwhile, Ma'ruf, he's way out in the countryside. And he's come across this farmer working hard to take care of himself and his daughter. And so Ma'ruf volunteers himself and helps and begins to plow the fields. One day, he was just a plowing away, and his spade hit something. He looked down, something shiny, a ring. He dusted the dirt off and a genie appeared. I am at your service. Really? Well, let's get this chest and me back to the palace. Now he rejoined his lovely wife and told her and only her about that ring and its powers. Unfortunately, the advisor was eavesdropping. He found out exactly where they kept that ring. He got a hold of it, and in one rub, Ma'ruf was sent to the desert. Well, Dunya complained to her father. She finally had to confess about the ring, and the king said, I demand this ring. And the advisor went, poof, sent him to the desert too. Well, then Dunya had to be very nice to the advisor until she found out where that ring was. She got a hold of it, and he was gone to the desert. Let's see how he feels. She brought back her father and her husband, and they lived happily, but just for a little while. Only because poor Dunya died too early. And Ma'ruf, he was alone, but not for too long, because somehow Fatima, remember her? She found her way to the palace. She'd heard of all those riches. Oh,
Oh, my dear, dear husband, I've been looking all over for you finally, my love. I found you.
Maruf got a hold of that ring and he rubbed it for all it was worth. And poof, she was gone. Forever. But he was lonely. He found his mind going back to the farmhouse and the farmer's daughter. So he went back and courted her. She told him, I find you agreeable. And with those few words, Ma'aruf felt richer than he had ever felt in his life. And the farmer's daughter and the cobbler were married. And they spent their life out in the countryside, far away from the big city, far away from fancy palaces, and far, far away from vermicelli cake. Thank you. Thank you.